Russia again cutting off the gas for Ukraine. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Russia's state-controlled natural gas company, Gazprom, today stopped sending the fuel to Ukraine, a country with which Russia is generally unhappy. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following the story from London. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
I thought Ukraine and Russia worked this out a couple of months ago.
Yes, they did. And Gazprom, the Russian supplier, is so far at least behaving entirely in line with the agreement which was reached. The key point in that agreement is that Ukraine has to pay up front in advance for gas deliveries. And at least according to Gazprom, they haven't done that. So under the agreement as it stands, they're entitled to turn the taps off.
These seem strict terms, but it sounds like also Ukraine doesn't have a whole lot of extra cash floating around.
One of the consequences of the conflict with Russia, quite apart from the strains that that introduced into this purely commercial gas relationship, is that Ukraine is finding an awful lot of difficulty in finding the cash to keep things turning over. It's not altogether surprising that they're finding a little bit of difficulty in meeting these prepayment requirements. Their stocks of gas at the moment are reasonably abundant, so I don't think we're going to see the supplies being turned off to Ukrainian consumers in the immediate future. It's been a relatively mild winter so far, so it may be that upfront payments right now to Gazprom are not that high a price. Priority.
Andrew Walker, BBC economics correspondent. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Checking the numbers. The Financial Times 100 share index, the FTSE, is up 0.9% right now. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.25% range. Checking crude oil traded in New York. A barrel is at $42.39. That's down 1.1%. The FAA is trying to prepare for what could be much more crowded skies as gifts get unwrapped for the holidays. Retailers are stocking up on unpiloted little aircraft, drones, which are turning out to be a hot item. The FAA this week released a list of recommendations on how drones should be monitored in the future. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
One FAA official predicted consumers might buy as many as a million new drones this season. Sean Dubrovac of the Consumer Technology Association gave a slightly lower number.
We project about 400,000 drones will sell this holiday season.
But he says it's a growing market. That's why the new FAA recommendations call for those drones to be registered in some way. Cooper Smith, an analyst with Business Insider Intelligence, says this is a stepping stone for the FAA.
And I think what they're trying to do here is they're getting ahead of the approval of drones for commercial use in mid-2016, because that's really where we're going to see the large impact of drones being used in public.
But James McQuivey of Forrester Research warns it's unlikely everyone will register.
If suddenly there are, let's say, 800,000 new drone owners now after this holiday season and they're all supposed to register, we'll see that something will slip through the cracks.
Or fly off into the distance. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Made the pumpkin pie last night from a squash that volunteered itself from the compost by the driveway this year. But I get that not everyone loves cooking, so why not a kind of Airbnb but for food, where you go online to get neighbors to cook the meal? Leslie McClurg samples the service in Berkeley, California.
Garlic and onions waft from Cook Lizette Silva's kitchen in her neat craftsman home.
Hi, guys!
Hello!
Silva packs to-go soup containers.
So it's got beans and chorizo and ham hock.
She works for a new service called Josephine. It's been a way to make money since she was laid off last spring. You go online and order dishes made by cooks and then pick them up from their homes. Mandy Schmidt regularly orders lunch.
I think it's really comforting actually to be able to come into the kitchen and watch like where it's being prepared and cooked.
The Josephine menu this week includes options like tom kha soup or salmon burgers. But when you ask people about eating from someone's home, you get mixed reactions.
I would have some concerns about other people's kitchens, you know, and their cleanliness for food handling.
It's pretty shady. Like, you don't know what they're going to put in it, and I'm guessing, like, sanitation-wise.
The fears expressed by Richard Lincoln and Christine Campos have been anticipated by the company. An outreach team vets potential cooks and inspects their kitchens. The small kitchen in Lizette Silva's home is immaculate. But the business may still not be legal because they're not inspected by the public health department like a commercial kitchen would be.
Ultimately, a lot of it depends on how you actually classify the business. Are these independent people operating restaurants, or are they thought to be independent people simply selling, you know, small amounts of food out of their home?
Jesse Catlin is a marketing professor at Sacramento State University. He says the business is likely to face legal challenges. In any case, Josephine is growing fast. There are now 40 Bay Area cooks, and the company is eyeing Seattle and Austin. For Silva, it's a great way to meet people in her neighborhood.
They come on in, they get their meal, we chit-chat, and they take off.
Plus, she grosses between $200 to $250 a meal. In Berkeley, I'm Leslie McClurg for Marketplace.
And from studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.